Welcome back. The Helen Suzman Foundation released a briefing paper on the potential impact of prescribed assets. The conclusion is that it would have a real negative impact on the economy. This follows the ruling party's election manifesto stating that the party would investigate the use of the concept, rather. We did reach out to the Helen Suzman Foundation, but it appears that they are unable to speak to their own research. But Alexander Forbes echoes the foundation's sentiments, and we're joined in studio by David Moore, who is the head of alternative investments at the company. David, thank you so much for your time. I think based on whether what you see on Twitter or even news headlines, there's definitely some negative responses with regards to the idea of prescribed assets. Talk to me about the negative aspects of it.
Sure. So quite simply, you know, asset prescription in its simplest form is forcing the allocation of assets from financial institutions into potentially assets that may have, yes, a social impact or a job creation element, but at the end of the day, they could end up having suboptimal returns for the ultimate beneficiaries of those returns and those assets. So, you know, that is really the theme that kind of permeates through our business in terms of the money that we manage is pension fund money. And we need to make sure that any form of asset prescription has no prejudicial impact on pensioners' ultimate retirement outcomes.
I mean, looking at Alexander Forbes' reports, I mean, one of the things they talk about is the fact that taxpayers will be having to fund the shortfall at the GEPF. There'll be reduced incentives to save for retirement, all kinds of things, including a negative impact on the stock market and the country's overall financial stability. Looking at it from an economics point of view, Are there negative aspects that you're seeing?
Yeah, sure. I think you just don't need to look too far in history to see exactly what prescription means in terms of the African economy. So back in the 50s and 60s, prescription was actually evident and permeated through our economy. And what it did, it created asset bubbles. So bonds were forced upon institutional investors. Mm-hmm. Returns on bonds were suboptimal, too much cash chasing too few assets. And you ended up having a situation where pensioners, the opportunity cost of them allocating to bonds was that they gave up returns in equities and cash, and they ended up retiring worse off. So the evidence is there to suggest that it doesn't work.
What does it do to, I suppose, the fiduciary duty of those who are fund managers and the obligation you have to your clients?
Well, we have no choice but to make sure we safeguard the benefits of our members. So you know, any form of prescription that can lead to suboptimal returns is unwelcome for us, because you know, at the end of the day, we represent the man in the street who needs to retire comfortably, and that is our primary responsibility.
Right. And I suppose we do have mechanisms that are in place that can perhaps even support even further the developmental assets in South Africa and even, you know, provide some solutions. At this point, are they working? Like, I mean, I can imagine we've got others that work as well.
Yeah, sure. I think quite simply what works is positive incentive.
Right.
So there are various examples that, you know, we have allocated clients capital to in the South African context that are great examples of how government's involvement through creating the right incentive structure will create capital mobilizing, private sector capital that is, for commercial return that has both commercial return on the part of the pension fund member and has sustainable impact. So the renewable energy program, for example, in South Africa is a great example of that, whereby through a sort of a competitive market process with a fair market price, private sector capital was mobilized with government support to the extent that thousands of jobs have been created. We know our energy situation is dire, and so you know, energy resource was improved, and at the end of the day, social impact in terms of job creation, you know, a lot of these projects that were developed in renewable energy mm-hmm. rounds were in rural areas. So you created great social infrastructure, roads, schools, you name it.
On that note then, what's your view on impact investing, particularly in South Africa? Because then one might argue that the more impact investing you have, the less reason there'd be for you to want to have prescribed assets.
100%. I think the return aspect of any investment goes hand in hand with impact. So to create sustainable impact, you need commercial return to mobilize private sector capital. Mm-hmm. And so there are several examples in a South African context, be it funding schools, funding affordable housing, where through government facilitation and positive incentive creation for the private sector, you get meaningful impact through the development of schools, whether it be subsidized school fees for those in those areas that require that, or you know any form of facilitation by government that can actually crowd us in mm-hmm. rather than crowd us out.
At this point, as the industry, I mean, they still need to have an investigation and look into the idea. So it's not exactly a done deal.
Sure.
But have you been engaging with the right authorities to share your side of things?
Yeah, so our stance is quite public, as you can imagine. So we're very much pro optimal return outcomes for our members. So we haven't engaged in any form of lobby group or any sort of stakeholder engagement processes yet, but we're very much open to be consulted, and I think we want to make it sort of a consensus-based kind of this is the way to best implement any form of prescription without prejudicing ultimately our members.
In order for the industry to be able to even buy into it at any percentage of this argument, what would you need to see happen, perhaps be it with state-owned entities or various other institutions where, I suppose, the prescription would be directed at?
Yeah, I think it's challenging. I think at the end of the day, you need to be comfortable that you, as a custodian of pension money, can see a return outcome that's predictable and that is risk adjusted. You know, where you're extending money into opportunities that are forced, but you're uncertain as to whether or not you're going to get the money back or be commensurately returned for the risk that you're bearing, very difficult to motivate at this stage. So, you know, SAEs and the like are challenging as we speak.
So the Helen Suzman Foundation, you know, at the end of their report, they mentioned that this whole idea of prescriptive assets ignores probably two things that they highlight quite highly, that financial institutions have been willing for a long time to invest in well-conceived government funding programs. And the other thing that they mentioned, which we've been talking about probably for quite some time, is that it ignores what lies at the root of the current funding crisis when it comes to SOEs, and that's, of course, corruption and poor governance.
Sure.
You share the same sentiments as well?
Yeah, I think without governance and the proper framework to create, you know, comfort in the minds of custodians of capital in the private sector, it's very difficult for you to motivate allocating pension money into those spaces. So governance is front and center for us in the way that we assess any opportunity through our investment platform. So I echo those sentiments.
Yeah. Before I let you go, is there then the risk that pensioners or those invested in your pension funds would want to withdraw all their money if that was an exact decision we were making now?
I think there is a big risk. I think if at the end of the day, if Pension SA is compelled to invest in any specific asset that can lead to an undesirable outcome, what incentive do you have to be part of the mainstream savings system? You know, you'll exit and you'll do it yourself.
David, thank you so much for your time. That is David Moore, who is the head of alternative investments at Alexander Forbes.